This episode of Super Happy Anime Funtime is brought to you by 132 Productions, home of Glops and the Mystery Box. Visit 132productions.com for more info and online webisodes. And welcome to Super Happy Anime Fun Time, Shaft, if you prefer. Well, this is our first episode. We're going strong at one episode currently. This is your source for all anime news, our New England-based podcast, as it were, or so it says on our website. We're glad to be here to bring the anime news, reviews, releases, and other anime-related stuff to your wonderful little iPod or MP3 player device. It's a panel show, so let's get to it. Let's introduce the panel. Let's introduce the fellas. Joining us from 132 Productions is Chris. Chris, hello.
Hello.
How's the old foot? How's that working out for you?
Oh, it's swollen right now.
Yeah, that could be worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could probably get like run over or something drops on it, or I don't know. At least it's not metal.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, at least you still have a flesh and bone foot. And yeah. Joining us from the land of Azeroth and his Nintendo Wii, Angelo. Angelo, hello.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. How are stuff?
Stuff's doing pretty good.
Stuff
can't complain.
Stuff is good. Excellent. We're one episode in, and it's already better than our other projects.
Yes.
Yes, it's getting done. See what happens when we have our own ideas and we don't try to embellish on ideas of other friends of ours.
We don't rely heavily on other people.
Yes, we rely on ourselves.
You mean it actually works?
Yes, strange as it is.
It's amazing.
Pulling up the bootstraps. So, yes, as I mentioned, this is Shaft. We cover anime news, so let's get to it. Let's start with the news of the week. 4Kids cancels One Piece production. Roz now... I'm not even going to say their name, because the people at 4Kids have the most ridiculous names, at least the ones who read off press releases. So we're going to skip the name. It's Roz now Icky. Just read the name, and that's phonetically how it sounds. So anyway, in reply to someone wondering if there were going to be new episodes of One Piece premiering on Cartoon Network, or anywhere else for that matter, like, I don't know, 4Kids TV, they were sorry to say that there are no additional episodes being adapted by 4Kids. And this was sent from their BlackBerry, I guess. So they couldn't even sit down and give an actual answer at a computer. That's how much they care about this series. I mean, One Piece, I believe 73 episodes have currently aired on either 4Kids TV, Kids WB, Cartoon Network, Toonami, where have you. I believe they said there are 104 episodes done that are dubbed and will finish airing, and I believe episode 296 just aired in Japan. So, you know, it's not like it's a series that, you know, isn't in production. It's actively in production. I mean, how many anime series can you say, you know, have that kind of following? I mean, and One Piece is still, you know, Shonen Jump hasn't, you know, canceled their production of One Piece. The manga is still going strong. It's still in monthly Shonen Jump in the U.S. It's still being released in graphic novel format. What's your take on this? I mean, it's a pretty popular property. It's the controversy of ninjas versus pirates versus mimes versus clowns. Anyone have a take, Chris?
Not really. I never really got into this series, so I can't really.
Well, I don't. I'm gonna be honest. I never got into one. Well, I like One Piece, but I could never get into the dubs since it was so poorly, crappily done. I mean, it's four kids for crying out loud, you know.
Yeah,
so that's no big surprise. But I mean, canceling, you know, a series, you know, midway through, just outright tossing it out.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous there.
Yeah, it's bad marketing. It's bad marketing. Yeah. I mean, you've committed so much money. You got the license from Shonen Jump. I mean, you're sitting there on top of a potentially good franchise that's highly popular in Japan. I believe One Piece has a couple of movies that aren't going to make it to U.S. shores, I guess, because four kids canned it, but you know, it's a highly successful property that's not getting the American audience. Is it because 4Kids has trashed it so badly? Or is it because no one likes pirates? Have ninjas won us out here?
I think there'll always be a battle between ninjas versus pirates.
Yes. Sadly, Jack Sparrow is probably going to have to, like, jump into the 4Kids Kraken and pull out Luffy and crew, hopefully. That'd be excellent. Angelo sitting quietly because this is 4Kids and he could care absolutely less, like most people, but I just find it interesting.
I gotta say that I did like the series and I thought it could have some potential. They could have done something a lot better, though.
Yeah, I agree. They did a lot of name changing. They did a lot of editing. I mean, Sanji alone has probably cost them... edits for Sanji alone have probably cost them $25,000 an episode to change his cigarette to a lollipop. So, you know, that's probably costing him like 25 G's an episode.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, anyone else picking it up, I haven't heard any... I've heard rumors and scuttlebutt about the subject. What do you think if like Funimation picked it up? I mean, that would be the next logical company to pick up something 4Kids dropped.
Yeah. Before we go on, is 4Kids owned by Fox?
No. 4Kids is I believe they're a division of Central Park Media, but they're their own independent company. They just, you know, they just get airtime from Fox. But again, they're not owned by Fox. They've had properties on Fox and Kids WB and Cartoon Network in, you know, forms of Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh GX, One Piece, and stuff like that. That wasn't 4Kids.
Because if they were Fox, I wouldn't be too surprised about it. But
well, eh. Yeah, I was about to say the snafus at Fox are just people who dub their anime. It's not Fox themselves. I mean, we all remember the Escaflowne fiasco. That was Sabin that did that. So thank God they didn't get Sailor Moon, because it could have been a lot worse.
Yes, it could.
And while we're on the subject of 4Kids, we have more from their neck of the New York woods. 4Kids Entertainment has announced today the formation of two subsidiaries: TC Digital Games, which will be a company devoted to collectible card games, and TC Websites, an online multi-platform game company. And they, you know, they're forming two game industries, one for computers, one for computer games, and one for card games, which scares me to death as a gamer. But Alfred Kahn, CEO of 4Kids, announced that the formation of these companies represent a significant enhancement of their business strategy. So basically they want to do what they did to gaming that they've already done to their anime. He went on to say the extraordinary success of Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! Has given 4Kids tremendous insight into the trading card industry and the profit potential of a successful trading card game. Wow.
Do we really need a new trading card game?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, there's some that are really good that are not, you know, as prominent as Magic the Gathering or Yu-Gi-Oh! Neopets comes to mind. World of Warcraft comes to mind. Those are a couple of properties that aren't getting their fair share of the game. I know World of Warcraft TCG's only been on a month, but Neopets has been around for years. It is a sound game, just the mechanics. But I mean, for kids, I mean, what have they learned? They've learned card games because they've watched another company adapt a game that was made in Japan by another company. I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is developed by Bandai in Japan, which is ported to the US and shipped out by Upper Deck. 4Kids only airs the stinking series poorly. I mean, what do you think of this, of the two companies, gaming that 4Kids is putting out? I mean, it's just interesting to turn around and see this. You know, the observations that are being made, it's just insane to even think that, you know, oh, we watched Upper Deck, you know, make the Yu-Gi-Oh card game a success. We can make our own now. We've been taking notes. You know, I mean, as a gamer, that must, you know, psych you out.
It definitely makes me feel confident that they're going to release a very good product.
Yeah, and even the games that are being released now are being released by veteran developers. I've heard nothing of that sort being sent into 4Kids. I mean, I know I keep mentioning the WoW card game. That was actually made by a lot of people who worked on Magic the Gathering with Wizards of the Coast. They like went really close to the computer MMO to make it. And I don't think they're going to be able to do the same thing. They're working on a game right now called Chaotic, which is allegedly a highly innovative and highly anticipated trading card game. It must be very highly anticipated because none of us have heard of it until now.
I've actually heard of it.
Oh, you actually have?
I've seen an episode of it. And they have... if you watch 4Kids on Saturday mornings, they keep having these little intros to the soon-to-be-release Chaotic card game where the cards are going to have a code at the bottom, and you go to Chaotic's website, and you enter in that code, and that code gives you a virtual card in your virtual deck in the internet. So you can, like, play online as well as offline.
I think that idea in itself is innovative, but you know it's one of those things that, you know, that can be done with other games, and
yeah.
I don't think it's quite that innovative. It has been done before with Yu-Gi-Oh, believe it or not. With the Game Boy Advance games, you were able to enter in the code at the bottom of the cards, and you'd get one of those cards. Like if you had a physical code, you could enter it in. The thing about this is some schmuck can go out there, buy out all the cards, write down all the codes, and then anybody can have whatever codes they want, unless, you know, the codes are different, you know, between the each individual card.
Yeah.
Like each, like let's say Blue Eyes White Dragon has 100001, and then another Blue Eyes White Dragon has 100002. That's the only way they'll make it work.
Yeah, and that'd just be insane with the amount of cards that they'd release, too.
Right, exactly.
Its own individual code.
Yeah, so, you know, there's some very unsound practices here. They're trying to bring in people... from Upper Deck, I guess, to work on this, but since it's an independent company, who knows how many from Upper Deck they'll actually get.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just not going to happen. It just sounds so unsound, and with 4Kids' track record to license things and water stuff down and insult the intelligence of the average human being just doesn't cut it. Just doesn't work for me.
And it just sounds like they're trying to just
rake in cash because they've lost so much because they've lost so much from, you know, properties that are failing. I mean, they just cut One Piece. They should be conserving or changing policy, not going out and making two new companies to pretty much go into a gaming market where they have barely any experience except for crib notes they took from Upper Deck and whoever makes the Pokemon card game, no offense, I just don't honestly know off the top of my head, when the market is being saturated with innovative new products. Like, the card game industry got a big splash with WoW, and that's going to take away from the thunder of Chaotic, in my opinion.
Definitely.
It's just not going to happen. They have an innovative idea, but if they can get into practice, it could work. They would definitely get the kid market in there, but would they get any card game veterans into it? I mean, most people who play collectible card games are above the age of 17, at least at the professional level.
It seems like they're marketing this towards, like, the 8-9-year-olds that, you know...
Yeah,
They're going to bug their parents to buy in these cards.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think it's going to create quite the splash certain card games have. I mean, people buy Magic the Gathering by the box, Yu-Gi-Oh! By the box, and even Yu-Gi-Oh! You hear about a lot of kids winning it, but there are a lot of professional players who are above the age of 17 who play the game and do quite well. And then again, the World of Warcraft card game, that, I mean, they sold out their first shipment. I mean, you could not find World of Warcraft cards, and if you could, they were just too expensive. They were about $5-7 a pack. Yeah. I don't think we're going to get quite that splash, even with the kiddie market. It just doesn't culminate enough of the gaming and collectible card gaming markets to really work. I figured Angelo would have more to say. He's a gamer. He plays Magic. He plays WoW. He plays the Wii. And it's just interesting to see this. It's just weird that, you know, they'd go out and try and do this. I just don't think it's going to happen.
On their own.
Yeah. On their own, they're going to get, like, crib note support from Upper Deck. That's about it. That's all I read in the press release. I mean, nothing really seems conclusive on this. It's just like, well, we're going to make a card game and we're going to put it out and we have this innovative idea. There's just no how we're going to do it in there. And it's really kind of annoying. All right, moving on. Enough jokes. I think we've gotten the comedic section of our show done for the most part. Death Note, The Last Name, the Death Note movie, has settled down to third place after 4 weeks at number one in Japan. Very good. It's good to see an awesome anime getting its due. I've read through some of the Death Note manga. I saw the first episode untranslated, and I was interested. It really makes me want to see it in America. And it will hit here. I'm sure that all the big three companies are fighting over the license, Funimation, ADV, and Bandai. And let's see what happened. They beat out the Devil Wears Prada the fourth week it was at number one, and then it got beat out by Casino Royale, the new James Bond movie, when it settled to third. I must say, I'm very impressed. I mean, there are few movies, alone anime movies, that really set that kind of score. It's very interesting to see that. It bodes well for them. In addition, they announced a spinoff to Death Note that'll be released. There's, like, barely any talk about it, whether it's anime. They just basically spit it out there. Oh, it's a spinoff. Very cool. What else? Moving on from Death Note, as much as, you know, as great a series as it is. 34th Annies are coming up in February. No anime on the list at all. None. Nothing. And anime has had some pretty good showings this past year. I'm surprised Noto hasn't jumped up with, well, what about Full Metal Alchemist, The Conqueror of Shambhala? Or Paprika?
What about those?
Well, Don't you find it surprising they didn't get nominated, considering how freaking awesome they are?
Quite.
Yes, I figured that would pique your interest. Well, there's really no reason for Paprika that was given, but the reason for Full Metal was Funimation didn't nominate it. And it was more than eligible, considering it had a motion picture debut. We went to it in our area, us three.
Quite crazy.
It was yeah, that was insane. I wish we were doing the podcast back then. That would have been an excellent live cast. That would have been a shitload of fun. Oh, I'm gonna have to bleep myself out. Dang it. Actually, I have a pretty good bleep. I believe it's a moo. That'll be very fun if you're listening to this, you know. Now I'm gonna have to edit this whole thing. This is gonna be great. Of the stuff that was and that was nominated, pretty much anything that was one of those DreamWorks-looking Shrek things was nominated for Best Animated Feature. Cars, Happy Feet, Monster House, Open Season, and Over the Hedge. Basically the same movie, different name. So it doesn't matter which one wins. Here's one for Chris. Best Animated Short Subject. Weird Al Yankovic's Don't Download This Song.
Yes.
Which I thought was very interesting to see. That was really kind of cool.
I think Weasel Stomping Day should have got the nomination, though.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. Best Animated Television Series. That's obviously going to go to Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends on Cartoon Network. Great show. Why King of the Hill is even on the list, I just won't ever figure it out.
Isn't that
It's like the.
off? Or there
No.
like no new episodes
No,
or?
there are new episodes.
Oh,
There were new
okay. I
episodes
didn't.
this past year. They did a new
Sure.
they did a new season.
Well, you can tell I haven't been following it that much.
Oh, that's okay. Okay, moving on. KBTV, which I'm sure no one has ever heard of,
Nope.
because it's in
Nope.
Sacramento, California.
And we don't live in there.
And we don't live anywhere near here. As we mentioned, this is Super Happy Anime Fun Time, your New England podcast of choice. Anime podcast, I should say. We're definitely not, you know, a tech podcast or a World of Warcraft podcast or a macrame podcast. And
Or
believe me, we
cooking.
really wanted to do that macrame thing. We still make a spin-off. Be a part of the Shaft Network.
Yes.
But Funimation announced that it will be gaining a block of anime on KBTV, a Sacramento multicultural broadcast television station. It'll air Monday through Friday, 3:30 to 5 p.m., of course, local time. And it will be interesting to have some anime on a potential. It's pretty much a local station, from what I understand. It's not a cable station. It's like Channel 8 in Sacramento, kind of similar to like 4, 5, 7, 9, 25, and 38, and 56 here.
Okay, so it's like a local news type of
Yeah,
channel.
it's a local kind of deal for them. Brian Holton, general manager of the station, went on to say they're thrilled to be delivering great programming from Funimation, which he kissed their butt in this. He says the market share leader of anime. He went on to kiss their butts so you can get more of their stuff, I guess. Our viewers can turn in Monday through Friday each week for new episodes of anime favorites, including Case Closed, Kitty Grade, and Galaxy Whereaways. So that pretty much dispels any fears that it's going to be 2 hours of Dragon Ball Z. So we won't be having the old Toonami come back. That's really exciting, though. I mean, there's been no kind of word of how editing will go down, if at all, if there will be any editing, and that would be great if there is none. And they are, it looks like I said, it looks like they're getting some real good series. They're getting Kitty Grade, they're getting Case Closed. Haven't seen those for a while. Case Closed was on Adult Swim for a while, and then it went away. So it's very exciting to see that get TV back, get some exposure back. Detective Conan is an excellent anime, despite the fact they were forced to rename it. What do you think? You know, I'm glad it's not 2 hours DBZ, like the old Toonami days.
Those were good times.
Those were good times. It was so good Toonami even made fun of itself when it extended its hour. Not another thing of DBZ. But yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of Funimation properties that still don't have TV deals that could be expanded. I mean, it's another outlet for them that's not in Texas, which is Funimation's based out of Fort Worth. So, you know, they've had a lot of TV deals in their own area. But this is, you know, this is something big. This is something that could propel them to have, you know, a Funimation block on, say, syndicated Fox or syndicated, what is it now? CW? It's not WB anymore.
Yeah, CW.
CW. Or just
CW.
Or just general syndication. Even with edits, I'm sure they wouldn't be quite as bad. And it could even propel these other series that haven't hit Adult Swim, such as Kitty Grade, Galaxy Railways, Tenchi Muyo GXP, to get maybe some airtime on Adult Swim or Toonami on Cartoon Network, or at worst case scenario, Magoozy. And I think it's good. Funimation has redeemed themselves since Dragon Ball Z. You know, it's good to see them get a, you know, another show in, or another outlet to for their programming, since they've learned how to dub stuff and not edit stuff retardedly. And that would be, you know, that'd be cool. That'd be cool to see that happen. Any other thoughts?
Well, it's just good that some of these shows are actually getting airtime now.
Yeah. And we've heard all the success from Anime Network over at ADV. The ideal thing for the anime fan would be like Funimation and ADV to join forces and create one monster anime network. I think that's the only way they'll ever get a general TV deal where it's 24/7, is if both of them join forces and throw both of their programming into the mix, and you know, you have them working hand in hand. It's not like they haven't done it before. They've done it with stinking Full Metal Alchemist, which we will be talking about later on. Full Metal Alchemist is our review this week. It's going to be good times. Let me move on. We are running low on time. Let's see. Toonami gets two new shows starting December 23rd, which is a Saturday. They haven't moved from Saturdays. They're getting The Prince of Tennis and Mar, which have been on Toonami Jetstream, which now works on Firefox, and we thank you for it, because IE is a steaming pile of crap. I mean, these are two, you know, Prince of Tennis, it's not really an action series, which kind of takes away from Toonami. It's good to see, you know, less action series anime make it onto any television in the U.S., because you don't really get to see that, aside from Anime Network On Demand, which has non-action series in there, and plenty of them. You know, I think this is a right step in the right direction. Yeah, I'll learn to talk one of these days. I will learn the proper English. Very nice. But I think it's a step in the right direction for Toonami, which has been lacking in anime lately. As far as stuff they have on right now, it's basically Bobobo, Naruto, and Yu-Gi-Oh! GX, which they took from Magoozy, which is a total waste of a series, since they've added it to near crap. It's like having Duel Masters back on the block. It's kind of cool that they won't be getting shut out by the holiday programming either. That's right, I said holiday.
You anti-Christmas person, you.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly's gonna come to my house and punch me in the face. Then he's gonna send
Merry,
me. Then he's gonna
Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays.
Then he's gonna send me to Gitmo.
Or Happy Hanukkah.
Or Happy Kwanzaa.
Yes. Gonna put the three big holidays in there.
That's right. And don't you forget it. And New Year's. Some people celebrate the New Year's as some kind of holiday.
Oh, yes. The atheists.
Yes.
The atheists.
We mentioned Case Closed earlier when we were talking about Funimation syndicated block. Movie 11, 2007, Detective Conan, which is titled Jolly Roger in the Azure, in the Deep Azure. That's going to be coming out in April in Japan, April 21st. And Funimation has yet to dub any of the movies, and this will make 11. Very interesting. I'd like to see them dub those as fast as they dub Lupin the Third movies, which they seem to get half the rights to. And do a nice job on, by the way. I enjoy their performance for Lupin. It's quite enjoyable. Let's see. Broccoli Books has announced the acquisition of three manga titles, Coyote Ragtime Show, which AD Vision has the rights to for the anime, and we will be getting into a story about that a little later. Hakuri Devil Princess and Murder Princess are the other two manga titles that will be released by Broccoli. That's good. Those are interesting series. moving on. Romeo and Juliet trailer is up on the Japanese website. I think it's kind of cool. A Japanese anime take on Romeo and Juliet. Can't be any worse than Leonardo DiCaprio and his take on Romeo, which kind of made me vomit a little inside. The art style is truly nice. I think even Angelo will enjoy it. It kind of has an art style that's similar to Escaflowne.
That's cool.
Yeah, it has that Escaflowne / Squenix feel. Square Enix!
You can't go wrong with Square Enix.
No, but they're not doing it. But it does have that similar Square Enix / Escaflowne / kind of art style to it, which I think is really good. And if it has that art style and they can adapt the story from Shakespeare pretty well to a nice anime feel without it being too cheesy, I think it'll be a nice 13-episode series to look forward to viewing in the U.S.
Now here's a question. Now, is it going to be based in Rome, or is it going to be based in somewhere else?
Not a lot of the details have been really released on it, aside from like a preliminary trailer. The concept art is very Square-like. The anime art is very much like Full Metal Alchemist, in my opinion. It's being done by Gonzo, so you can't go wrong. They've done some really nice stuff. They have many a credit to their name. But the animation looks very Full Metal-ish. But as far as any place that it's being based out of, not really been put in the about yet, which really kind of freaks me out. A lot of stuff Gonzo has done has been beautiful. They've done Hellsing, they've done Full Metal Panic, they've done Kitty Grade, and those are very beautiful looking stinking series. I shouldn't say stinking, but they are very beautiful series. This is no exception. It looks really cool. And it's going to be just awesome. It's not even out yet, but they do have the trailer up. It looks cool. It kind of has a Neo feel to it, because I just found a little something, and it's apparently going to be set in this aerial city of New Verona. So it's going to be like a floating city. So I kind of think that's an interesting take on it, but we'll have to see how it pans out. You know, it looks beautiful, though. It looks really good. And, you know, that's already a plus. But if they can get the plot down, it'll be a really nice series to see. So, you know, it looks good, at least. And that's not bad getting out of the gate. Let's move on. IGN, which is famous for being crap as far as gaming goes, has the first episode of Coyote Ragtime show up, dub only, of course. AD Vision, as I mentioned before, is working on the dub. They have the trailer and the first episode up. Very interesting. Always good to see free anime up for download. That's not illegal. It'll probably hit Anime Network On Demand as soon as possible. It looks interesting. Kind of Trigun-ish, Cowboy Bebop-ish. How often do you ever hear anime and Oscar in the same sentence? Ever?
No.
Not very often.
No, not unless Miyazaki is also in the same sentence. However, there is a song from Paprika that has been nominated for an Oscar, 2006 Oscar.
Wait, an American Oscar?
An American Oscar. But then again, I don't know how that's going to pan out. The girl in Bianca, Baya Konya, I should say these things right, White Tiger Field from Paprika has been nominated. But then again, there's songs from Nacho Libre, Deja Vu, Stranger Than Fiction, all kinds of different things. I mean, there are nominations for movies that aren't even out yet, like Charlotte's Web. I don't know. It seems like they're really just throwing in everything as much as they can for nominations.
It seems like awards shows keep going down and down every year.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. But hey, anime's on the docket, and if it makes it through the nominations process, I will be thrilled.
Hey, well, yes. A lot of international movies have, you know, won an Oscar, an Emmy. You know, I mean, it wouldn't be the first.
Right, yeah. Spirited Away, I believe, is the most recent example of that. Again, I would have liked to have seen some of the stuff from this year go up for some kind of other award. I'm very happy Paprika is going to make some kind of award since it didn't get nominated for an Annie this year or a Golden Globe.
How was Borat on the nomination list?
Oh, for music? Actually, yes. Borat did make the list. Oh, Kazakhstan made it on the list for the Oscar nomination. So yeah, there really was a little of everything on the list, which I thought was really great. So that made it on there. If it wins, very nice. But yeah, and it has the full Borat title in there, so that's really good.
Yes. That's a long title.
Yeah, it's a pretty long stinking title that I'm not going to repeat because, I don't know, everybody's got a lawsuit against it, so I don't want that to, like, retroactively go to me.
Yes.
Alright, Jasrak asks YouTube to improve its anti-piracy measures. Jasrak, the Japanese Society for the Rights of Authors, Composers, and Publishers, sent YouTube founders Chad Hurley and Steve Chen a letter on behalf of 23 Japanese TV stations and entertainment companies that YouTube improve its anti-piracy measures. They filed a complaint earlier in the year. Since then, YouTube removed 30,000 files from its website in response to that particular complaint. I believe this was covered on Twit. I think Leo and the gang went into it on This Week in Tech in the last episode. Since they had like 45 minutes on DRM, and one of them was how Japan was on it. And yes, Jasrak was mentioned by name. It's no secret that you can find a lot of anime-related material on YouTube. Trust me, I can find it very easily.
You could just type in the letter A, and the first thing will be anime.
Yeah, it'll be like AMVs, and then maybe maybe part of Appleseed or something in there. Everything with the A's.
Or hell, just don't even type anything in the search window thing. You know, just hit search and it'll do it for you.
Yeah, exactly. This was sent in by our resident girl gamer / cat girl / insanity woman female of our show, who's not here this week, who didn't even send in anything but this. Canada has a maid cafe. And we all know how big that is in Japan. It basically, you know, caters to a traditional kind of Asian-type deal, because there are similar establishments in Japan and China, And they serve bubble tea, they serve all kinds of Chinese and Japanese type, deals, and all the waitresses are dressed like maids, and you can't go wrong with that. It makes me want to move to Canada already. Though on their website, it's kind of spooky. You have the five maid chicks, and in the background, you have Simon Cowell at the bar, ready to like beat the crap out of you with his British lingo. This was sent in, from Evie, who's just insane. She was like, "Oh my God, I want to work there." I'm like, "Good, go move to Canada.
So,
I'll
which
go
part of
with you."
Canada is this in?
What part of Canada is this in? I
Ugh.
believe it's in the Ontario area of Canada. Let me double check that.
I think this podcast should go on the road.
Yes, I agree. We should really go out and just do some stuff, Oh no, it's in Toronto. It's in Toronto, which isn't
Close
actually,
enough.
yeah, which actually isn't too far. We could actually road trip that, and then we'll leave Paul on the Canadian border.
Yes.
And you'll hear us mention that name a lot, even though you won't know who this person is. But he will be
And
left at the Canadian border with no
we hope
anime.
to God you'll never know.
He'll never know.
For your sake,
For your
you'll never
sake and your
for your
children's
sake
sake.
that you'll never know him.
All right.
Well, no, well, first of all, he'll need a permission slip from his mom even to get into the car. Or at least he'll think he'll need one.
Right.
Yes.
We'll leave him a couple of copies of Hamtaro to keep him company.
Yes.
All right, last story. Witchblade announces release in 2007, February 2007. The first, the only, why am I bringing this up? Only because Bandai Entertainment and Top Cow Productions are going to be releasing not only an unflipped original Japanese version, but a flipped Americanized version of the series, which I find very interesting, both being released simultaneously. Angela, who I've recently gotten to manga, can understand this. I don't remember, did the copies of Ranma One Half you read, were they the flip version or the unflip version, the Japanese version?
They were the cheap ones for
They
10 bucks.
Very descriptive. I know the ones you own are the unflipped, I believe. The original right to left Japanese, excuse me, left to right Japanese versions.
If it's Japanese, it'd be right to left, wouldn't it? Not left to right.
No, Americans right to left. Oh wait.
No, you got that
I got
reversed.
that. I had it right the first time.
Yeah, you
Darn.
did.
Yeah, left to right's American, right to left is Japanese. Okay. I'm figuring it out now.
No, these are left to right.
Oh, okay. Okay, they're Americanized. Because I know there are a couple of manga series out there that have done re-releases. One of which is Sorcerer Hunters, which I'm a big fan of. I started buying up the flipped version, and then they came out with the unflipped version right after, and I just went, "Oh man, I'm gonna have to pay another like 10 bucks to get the freaking originals." Oh, bad times. And that'll do it for the news this week. Lots of news, of course. Some of it is pretty old news. The Four Kids thing was announced like almost a week and a half ago. But it's all good times. Let's move on to some releases, because Christmas is coming, and you must know what is coming out. Coming out next Tuesday, and we will be doing reviews every show. Yes, we will be doing reviews every show. For example, next week we'll be reviewing Ergo Proxy. This week we'll be reviewing Full Metal Alchemist. But we also do releases every week, and those releases are for the Tuesday of that week, the upcoming week. Today is Wednesday, December 13th, and these will be the releases for next Tuesday. Elemental Glade Volume 4 comes out that day. Kodansha Volume 10, and Heron Goo's final volume, Volume 7, comes out. So a lot of stuff from Funimation. I believe that's all from Funimation. Very good stuff, I guess. Heron Goo is great. I haven't seen the other two. Anime box sets, Ys Otherwise box. I've heard good things. Probably gonna take a look at that. I don't know if you guys will. Here's one that I know at least Angelo will take a look at, and that's Full Metal Panic for Mofu, which ADV has sent out along with these otherwise for box set releases this month. Full Metal Panic's been out in a box set for ages. We're now getting Fumofu, which is the second series, and Funimation has the rights to the second raid, which they just started releasing 2 weeks ago. So get your taste of Full Metal Panic.
Can't wait.
And that was it for anime. 5 series. How about that? Wasn't that quick? There was quite a bit of manga released. Most notably, Bird Kiss, its second and final volume, was released. Kamiya Dori, first volume, and O Parts Hunter, first volume. Those premiere this Tuesday. As far as series we've heard of, Beyblade, volume 14. So the little kiddies can pick that up. Beck, volume 6. Angel Sanctuary, volume 17. A couple for Noto to enjoy. Excel Saga, volume 15. For those of us who enjoy the manga much more than the anime. And trust me, I do. Fruits Basket, volume 15. And another series that I enjoy the manga too, because there's more plot. Girls Bravo, volume 6. And Grenadier, volume 2. All are being released next Tuesday. Big, big week for manga. Popular manga, no less. And that's it. Not much to the reviews, because they're really to the releases, because there isn't... I swear, I'll get them mixed up less in future episodes. And, you know, there's just not much to cover as far as releases. There's just nothing. 5 anime and, like, a handful of manga. That's it. Let's move on to our review segment, which is going to be fun. We love reviewing stuff. We love letting people know how we feel. And we figured we'd start with the anime that is pretty much dethroned Evangelion as the best anime on the face of the planet, and that's Full Metal Alchemist. If you haven't heard of this anime, please shoot yourself.
Yes, please shoot yourself.
Please shoot yourself directly in the face. No, don't shoot yourself in the face. Go out to Best Buy and start collecting it, or you will be ridiculed by your fellow otaku.
And make sure you go to Best Buy and not Suncoast.
That's correct. We have a personal feud against Suncoast, so Best Buy.
The self-proclaimed anime headquarters.
Yes. Best Buy, Target, one of the many fine online retailers that people are hopped up about. Any one of those places is fine, just not Suncoast. Pick it up. Well, actually, it's still on Adult Swim, so if you don't feel like paying for it, go ahead and watch it on Adult Swim. It's freaking fantastic. The art form is awesome. The story is awesome. The fact that it was pretty much developed hand in hand with Square Enix is awesome. It just gives you that, the story just gives you that Square Enix feel without having to sit down for 35 hours and play a game. I love that. We can't go on how much we love this series. There's just so much to the series. Collecting it will cost you an arm and a leg. Very unliterally, though. More financially. I basically had to get everybody on the bandwagon if they hadn't seen it yet. At least they've heard of it. So it's a good thing if you've at least heard of Full Metal Alchemist. Guys, if you guys have any thoughts other than me just saying it's awesome over and over and over, just let me know. I mean, the dub was even awesome. I mean, it was Funimation had the rights to it, but I mean, they didn't do all the dubbing. I mean, they brought in 80 Vision's voice actors. They brought in Ocean Group's voice actors. I think they even brought in a couple of anime's voice actors in there. I know I heard a little Green Ranger somewhere. But it is just a simply gripping tale. For those who haven't heard of it, I'll give you the brief synopsis. Two boys, using the mystical science of alchemy, attempt to bring their mother back to life and pretty much maim themselves in the process. Sound like fun, doesn't it? Sounds like a bad Tuesday night. But basically, you know, that's how it goes down. They go on wacky adventures trying to restore themselves. They meet up with some crazy, you know, folks who try to kill them on a daily basis. And it's all good times. It's just simply amazing. Chris, I mean, you've just finished the series, I believe. You just finished all 51 episodes.
Yes.
And the movie.
Yes, in the movie. I don't know, there's really not much else to say than what you've said already.
Yeah, it's just simply great. It's not one of those movies, it's not one of those animes or movies that you can sit and just poke holes at. It's not a Pokemon, it's not a Yu-Gi-Oh, it's not a Code Lyoko where you can just poke holes in it in different spots and have fun. It's just a simply great, great, great series.
Solid story.
Yeah, it's got the solid story, great artwork, great music. The dub is great. You can, you know, watch it either dubbed or subtitled, and it'll be equally as entertaining to you. It's you know, it's an edgier series, 14 and up. It's not a kiddie series. It's on Adult Swim for a reason. It's not overly overloaded with swears, much like Yu Yu Hakusho or Cowboy Bebop, which is good.
A ton of blood, though.
A lot of blood.
Yes.
What are we talking about, Full Metal or Cowboy Bebop? Because they both have kind of a lot of blood.
Full Metal.
Full Metal has a lot of blood at times. I wouldn't say there's a lot.
Not too much, but it has its share.
I mean, it's no Elven Lead. I'll tell you that right now. It's no Elven Lead. That is a total bloodbath.
Or Gantz.
Yeah, that's another bloodbath. I'm just gonna say that was the series review. 10 out of 10. I'd like to review The Conqueror of Shambhala at one point. Not right now. I mean, that just deserves its own separate review. Mainly because it steps above and beyond what you would expect from a series movie.
Oh, yes.
It just went beyond the expectations you would have for an anime movie based on a series.
Just make sure you watch the series before you watch the movie.
Yes. Because you will have no idea what's going on.
Yep. Unlike
if you
just
watch the movie.
Right. Unlike most anime movies based on a series, it is a continuation of the series. So if you don't watch all 51 episodes of the series, you're not going to have a clue what's going on in the movie.
And you're going to just destroy all the surprises in the series, too,
watch
the movie.
You'll definitely ruin it. We're definitely going to throw that out there. It's not like Dragon Ball Z, where you can sit there and watch the movies and have never seen the series before. If you watch the movie, you are definitely in for spoilers. Immense spoilers. That's about going to do it for this week's edition of Super Happy Anime Fun Time. Write in. Come to the message boards. We'd love feedback. Send in your emails, send in your calls, send in your audio files, WAV or MP3, we're not that picky, to animeshaft@gmail.com. Check out the message boards, post around, let us know what you thought of today's episode. They will get better. We're working on audio solutions to help expedite a lot of issues that we were having. We will have more panelists, hopefully, in the next couple of episodes. We've just, you know, had a computer break on one of our panelists, and the other just plum didn't show up, but she sure sent an entry in for one news article, and we're very proud to have brought that to you today. That'll do it. Catch us for episode 2. See ya!
See ya.
Goodbye.